Today we're coming from Psalm 100. 100 Psalm. And allow me to read the 100 Psalm. And it reads, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lambs. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. His truth endures through all generations. Our topic today is reasons to praise the Lord. Reasons, my brothers and sisters, to praise the Lord. Let me ask the question, when was the last time you made a joyful noise unto the Lord? For some of us, it might have been a while because we have a lot of other things on our minds. But we have to recognize that in spite of everything that is going on, God is still there. God is still controlling us. God is still directing us. So in spite of everything, we still have him as our Lord and as our Savior. So in the midst of a pandemic, in the midst of turmoil in the country, in the midst of everything that is going on in our lives, we have to praise the Lord. Let me share a few reasons why we need to praise the Lord. Number one, and this is point number one, we praise him because he is God. We praise him because he is God. We praise him because he is God. Look at verse one, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. And I'm reading from the New King James translation. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. You know, when Jesus was traveling, when he went to Jerusalem and the crowd gathered around him and they praised Jesus and they cried, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. That's in Matthew 21, verse 9. Now, you know, we see people can praise the Lord when they see the presence of the Lord, when they feel the presence of the Lord. But can we still praise the Lord when it seems like the Lord might not be doing what we would have him to do? It seems like he might not be in control like we think he should be in control. He might not be taking care of business like we think he should be taking care of business. But you know what? Our ways are not God's ways. And God's ways are not our ways. We will go through tribulations. We will go through trials. All we have to do is look at the Gospels, look at what the disciples went through. After Jesus went up to be with the Father, they still went through trials and tribulations. They were martyred for the sake of the gospel. He never said it would be easy, but one thing he did say, that he would be with us throughout the journey. So we can praise God for his presence in the midst of our trials and tribulations. So we praise him because he is God. And it tells us in verse 2 of Psalm 100 to serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing. We serve him with gladness. Instead of focusing what we don't have, sometimes we just need to focus on what we do have and realize how blessed we really are. We serve him with gladness. We come before his presence with singing. And we come before his presence. Let's break this down for a second. This means that we have access to God if we're coming before his presence. Now, you know, there's certain things in life that you cannot get to unless you have access. Amen? There are locks on doors for a reason, that only the ones who have keys have access. There are certain communities that you cannot get into unless you have access to the gate that lets you in. There are certain facilities that you cannot get into unless you have permission or a certain type of access. If you want to see a celebrity or an official or like the president or somebody else is coming through town, you have to have a certain type of access. And in life is like that. We need to have certain credentials to have access. But the only credential we need to have access to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the only credential we need to have access to God, is to be one of his children, to have accepted him, to have allowed him to come into our lives. And therefore, we do have access, special access. There's nobody who has to check us and say, do you have a pass? No, we have access to Jesus anytime and anywhere. We have access. There is nothing more disappointing to try and take care of some business on a Saturday or Sunday evening online and realize that they are down for maintenance and you have to come back on Monday morning to take care of your business or after maintenance mode is over. There's nothing worse than that when you're really trying to get something done. We serve a Savior that we don't have to worry about denied access. We don't have to worry about a certain number of hours that they are open. We don't have to worry about other things like that, but we have access 24/7, 365 days of the year. And that's the access we have. And we don't have to show a badge or show a passport or show papers, for he knows his children and will recognize us. You know, in the Old Testament, the people did not have direct access to God. There were barriers in the temple, and the presence of God resided on the inner chamber called the Holies of Holy. But with Jesus, the veil was torn that separated us from God, and now we do have access. So if you need a reason to praise the Lord, let's praise the Lord because we have access to him in the midst of what was going on. And with that access, we have freedom. We have freedom from death. We have freedom from hell. We have freedom from the grave. We need to celebrate. Yes, we are good at celebrating when everything is going good. But how good are we at celebrating when things are going bad? You know, David was especially good in celebrating the Lord as you read through the Psalms, even in the midst of his trials and tribulations when he was running away from King Saul, whether or not somebody was out to get him, his own son was out to get him, he still found a reason to praise the Lord. For some of us, we need something great to happen to have us praise the Lord. Think about the children of Israel. They left Egypt and when they crossed the Red Sea, when the Red Sea opened, Pharaoh's army was behind them. They were allowed to cross on dry ground. And when they got to the other side, Exodus 15, I believe, tells us they celebrated. They sung a song of celebration. I wonder, can we sing songs of celebration in the midst of a pandemic? Can we sing songs of celebration when officials are making important decisions about the education of our children? Can we sing songs of celebration while the world strives to find vaccines for the virus that is going on? Can we sing songs of celebration? I believe we can, my brothers and my sisters. Paul tells us in Ephesians 5, starting at the 19th verse, he says, speak into yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is great power in celebrating. There is great power in praising the Lord. Look at verse 3. Know that the Lord, he is God. He was he who has made us and not we ourselves. Can we praise him because God made us? Everything that we are is the result of his grace and his mercy. I don't know about you. Sometimes I have my moments when I reflect back on people I've grown up with, folks my own age, people I went to high school with, college with, and I see some of them are no longer in this on this earth, and some of them are in terrible shape or terrible positions. You know, folks who I know are way smarter than I am and more gifted than I am, but yet they are not doing as well as you would think they would be doing. And it just makes me realize that everything I have, every success I have is not because of myself, but it's because of God's grace and mercy and God working with me and giving me what I needed to do, using my personality to shape me into what he wanted me to be so I could be what I am. You know, some of us might say, I'm not what I want to be, but guess what? I am what I am. And just like Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Anyway, going back to 100, Psalm 100, verse 3, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Now, in this verse, we find three truths about God. We find that number one about his person. He is God. He is the one true living God. Jehovah is God. We find out about his power. He is the creator. He made us. We can tell that he is the true God by his power to create. Who else could take a piece of dirt out of the ground and breathe life into it? Who else could take an old man like Abraham and make him into a great nation? His power, he is the creator. And we look at his purpose. He is the shepherd. We are his people. A shepherd's job is to provide for and to protect the flock. We are his sheep. And every time I think about that, I automatically go to Psalm 23, the 23rd Psalm, where it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In the midst of what we're going through, brothers and sisters, can we still say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? I don't believe many of us have missed many meals due to the pandemic. I don't believe that we've missed out on the essentials of life because of the virus. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And he goes on to say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff. They comfort me. Thou preparest a table for me in the presence of my enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. This is a thankful person, a thankful for the presence of the Lord who has covered him. Even though he's gone through the valley of the shadow of death, he will fear no evil, for God is with him. Don't you know that God is with us? We might be going through the valley of the shadow of death, but he is still with us. As a shepherd, he is still caring for and gathering his people. Second point is, we praise him because he is good. The first one, we praise him because he is God. Now the second one is, we praise him because he is good. Look at verse 4, Psalm 100. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Come to him thankfully. You know, in the old covenant, in the Old Testament, the people came to the temple two or three times a year for the annual feast. This was a time of fellowship. This was a time of a spiritual renewal. This was a time of thanksgiving. So they entered into his courts with praise. We don't have to wait until a designated time on the calendar to praise the Lord. We can praise the Lord anytime we want to. We can bless his holy name. Be thankful to him and bless his holy name. Psalm 103, verse 1. David says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." We praise him for the blessings he's bestowed upon us in our lives. We praise him for the national blessings we have in this country. We might not be able to see them, but the smoke screen will disappear. The clouds will disappear. The storms will dissipate. And we will recognize the blessings he has bestowed upon this country once more again. We need to praise him for his forgiveness, his mercy, his grace, his love for us, and praise him for his eternal love. That means it lasts forever. We praise the Lord for these things. And verse 5, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures all generation. Isn't that a wonderful way to sum up this psalm? We're looking at that he is good. He is our Lord. His mercy is everlasting. Don't you know that we have everlasting mercy? That means that it is not like a genie where you might have three wishes to be forgiven of or sins to be forgiven of. No, mercy is everlasting. It is whenever we need mercy, mercy will be there. We don't have to worry about, we've worried God too much. As a good shepherd, that is his job, to care for us regardless of how much we think we're worrying him or how much we think we've messed up our lives. Some have thought that I am too terrible, I am too bad to come to God in prayer. No, that's when we need to go to God in prayer, when we are bad, because all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Don't you know that all of us need forgiveness? All of us need mercy. And when it tells me that his mercy is everlasting, that means it's forever and forever. And that last part, his truth endures through all generation. You know, that tells me that there is no expiration date on his word. His word is the same yesterday, today, and will be forevermore. The same word that I was taught growing up, taught by my grandparents to my parents, taught by their forefathers and mothers to them. Don't you know that that same word is still the word we have today? The same word in this Bible that was compiled 17 centuries ago or something like that, or 18 centuries ago, is the same word, is the word of God that we have today. His truth endures to all generations. Every generation has their challenges. Every generation has had their viruses, has had their wars, have had their turmoils, and people have said, God, where are you now? But yet we see that his truth prevails in the end, that he comes back and he restores order to his people, restores order to his generations, restores order. You look at the Old Testament, and we see that people came to God and they loved God, but they got complacent and they fell back into their foolish ways. They have the mentality that it doesn't take all that. And therefore, you see in the word time and time again, there grew up a generation that knew not the Lord, because their parents had neglected teaching them about the Lord. They had neglected going to the temple worship. They had neglected practicing what the Lord wanted us to practice, the devotion to the Lord. And therefore, corrective action had to be made. I wonder, my brothers and sisters, are we going through a period of corrective action? Are we going through a period where the Lord is trying to get our attention? Is this being allowed to allow us to focus on him more? Is he yet extending mercy to us time and time again, knowing that a remnant will come out on the other side? Can it be? Can it be that what we are going through is for our own purpose? And can we not take the opportunity to draw closer to him, to praise him more, to focus on him more? Can we not take the opportunity to say, Lord, I glorify your name. I know there's a lot going on in this world, but I know that you are still here. How do I know that you are still here? Because when I wake up in the morning, I still see that the sun has risen. And when I go to bed at night, I see that the moon has arrived in the sky and the sun has disappeared in darkness. How do I know that you are still at work? Because I still hear the birds chirping when I walk outside. How do I know that you are at work? Because I still see the trees being obedient and the plants being obedient to their growth cycle. They bloom at their appointed time. I see, Lord, that you have put everything on this earth for a purpose. How do I know that you are still Lord? Because I can still take a breath of fresh air and feel okay. How do I know that you are Lord? Because I can reach out and touch my brothers and sisters, although virtually. How do I know that you are Lord? Because I am still here and you are still extending grace and mercy to me. I'd be like my our dear departed brother Andre. You know, I'm not talking about y'all, but I'm talking about me. I'm talking about me right now. How do I know that he is real? Because I can feel him in my spirit. I can feel him in my soul. And I know that his grace and his mercy endures forever. So if you ever need a reason to praise the Lord, send me a text, give me a call. I'll give you a reason to praise the Lord. So even in the midst of what is going on, I just want to share a message that God laid on my heart to share with us reasons to praise him, reasons that have to be reiterated time and time again for each generation. And maybe this is the time that is getting our attention, encouraging us, yes, to be cautious on the outside, but reflect on the grace and mercy on the inside. We serve a good God. We serve a compassionate God. We serve God who was there for us, and his mercy endureth forever. Thank you, my brothers and sisters. Five verses, a song of praise. Everything will not always go our way or the way we want it to. Our plans have been disrupted. Our personal lives have been disrupted. Our workplaces have been disrupted. But yet we can still praise the Lord. If there's anyone who does not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I invite you at this time to take him into your heart. Accept him. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 tells us, we shall confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, believing in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's what salvation is. Salvation is confession and belief. And there might just be one person who's listening or viewing today who does not know the Lord. So therefore, we asked, if there is one, accept him into your heart right now and become a part of God's family and be a part of God's family that no longer has the worry, because we have the good shepherd looking after us. We have the good shepherd taking care of us. We have the good shepherd in the presence of us. Let us pray. Father, I thank you once again for your goodness. I thank you for your mercy. I just thank you, Lord, for all that you are doing for us, Father. I just thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord, for giving us a reason to praise, even in the midst of what is surrounding us, Lord. We look to you, Lord, for it is your truth that endures. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.